Thank you, Brandy. You know, I can relate to that Utterscore deal a little bit because we have two Utterscores. It's good and bad, you know. So, well, thank everybody for the opportunity to get in front of you today. And one of the things that I always talk about is the fact that our initiative with Blue Partnership is to produce value-added, high-quality feeder cattle. And whether we retain ownership and capture all that value ourselves or we sell feeders and we share that information and all that downstream, the Red Angus cow, if you can't tell by the picture, has been an integral part in allowing us to achieve that initiative. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we do, maybe both new and old, and selecting replacement heifers. And before I go very far, and I'm a little bit like Ken also, I need to give a disclaimer, because most anybody that I've ever learned anything from, I think, is out here in the crowd as well. And so I've always heard that, you know, you had to be so many odd miles from home before you were an expert at anything. And I kind of always figured that the miles from home was directly correlated to the level of expertise that you have. And so I don't know that Biloxi, Mississippi is near far enough for me to be an expert at anything, but American Airlines tried really hard yesterday to make this feel like it was halfway around the world, I guarantee you that. So, there we go. I think heifer selection starts at day zero. It starts with bull selection. We've always tried to be real careful and not ask a bull to do too much for us. There's no perfect bull, and I've said that all the time. But by dividing our selection criteria between maternal bulls and terminal bulls, we think that we can put emphasis on traits that on bulls that we believe will use him for his respective use. I guess I'm getting above my notes here. In other words, we'll utilize two kinds of bulls in our program. We'll use bulls that are our terminal bulls that will make feeder cattle, and we'll use bulls that, maternal bulls that make replacement heifers. And I'll say it again, there's no perfect bull. But a lot of people in our industry continue to try and make them. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we can put steady selection pressure on traits that may typically be antagonistic, I think, and we can make progress. I think I just want to caution everybody, and especially seed stock producers, on going on this quest to make the perfect bull, and in the process you do away with or you forget about the foundation of what the breed is there for and how the breed got there, or you do away with some of the traits that they've traditionally excelled at. And I think sometimes we can get in trouble whenever we do that. I could make this about bull selection, I think, all day long. I can talk about our maternal sires, what we look for, and we look for high stability, high heifer preg sires. We want those bulls to come in an easy fleshing, moderate package. May or may not be relevant to the discussion. We can talk about that a lot. But this is about new and novel ideas in the selection process, though. One that's gotten a fair bit of press lately is indexes. This is an old slide or an old picture that I stole from the internet somewhere, I think, and it's old because there's a lot more than that today. One of the reasons I think I've probably picked up on a lot of the communication that we've had over this is because Red Angus has gone to two indexes here with their Gridmaster and their Herd Builder Index. You know, it's not that indexes are the newest tool in a toolbox. They really have been around for a while, and I think they're a good tool. I think they make selection easier to a certain degree, and that's what they're supposed to be there for. But one thing I want this group to think about a little bit is if you're a leader in a breed organization, or anyone for that matter, I guess, that's going to be implementing one of these indexes, you can't underestimate the importance of communicating with everybody what these indexes mean and what goes into them. You know, an index can do me some good, and a lot of times we'll have a definition there that's got a production scenario of some kind generally in the definition that says whether you're going to be raising terminal cattle and selling everything and selling them on the grid, or you're going to be raising replacements, whatever. But if I don't know all the traits that go into calculation of this index, and I don't know the weighting that goes on those traits, then I may be picking the wrong index for what I want to select for. And I think it's going to be a bad day if we've got a whole herd full of producers who have been selecting for a particular index because it's easy. It's one number to look at, and they think they know what they're looking at, only to find out that It's putting emphasis on traits that don't fit their environment or don't fit their production goals. And so they're a useful tool, don't get me wrong. I think they're great, and I'm glad to have them. I just want to caution everybody on chasing after a certain index because they may not end up where they want to be at. It's a little bit like some EPDs that I know we've got that would be extremely valuable EPD, and they're good to have. But once I understand and know how that data is calculated, how that data is collected, they become a little less than valuable to me once I understand exactly how it is. So something that I always think about is junk in, junk out, just like with everything. We are utilizing DNA. A couple years ago, we 50K'd a couple bulls that we wanted to collect an AI to, and now we have DNA on every bull, whether he's a cleanup bull or an AI sire. A lot of those bulls are coming to us already, DNA tested from our seed stock suppliers. We think parent verification in the future is going to be extremely valuable to us for a couple of reasons. If nothing else, we have bulls in a multi-sire pasture, and we have a native observation. We can go test that calf and find out who he was out of. But there's other reasons. I'll get into that more in a second. We also used Red Angus's herd navigator test this year. It was new this year, and we were one of the first ones, I think, to use it. We're excited about the technology. I think this is an application that's going to be really good for us. Gives us a percentile rank in Red Angus's suite of EPDs, and we really did sort quite a bit with it. One thing I'll say, though, is I think it's this way with DNA or anything. We need to be careful that whenever we release some of these new ideas or new technology that we've got, that we need to make sure that the marketing doesn't outpace the science itself, or that we don't outpace the common application of how we're going to implement everything. Whenever I say the word DNA, I think we're already above my pay grade, but the other thing I want to caution this group on is that we take care whenever we're building these DNA tests. I think it's another bad day if we find out later on that the test size for these DNA tests weren't big enough, or maybe the herd itself wasn't as accurate as what we thought it was, and so we end up in a place where we don't want to be at. And if you start out wrong, and you may end up in the wrong place and be like these guys. I just want to be careful that we're accurate whenever we're building these DNA tests. I'd love to stand up here and tell you that we got everything all figured out, but we don't. I think we've just scratched the surface in terms of what we can do with our own data, historical data. And we've got a lot of it. I've got a lot of Excel spreadsheets that I swear that's what's bogging my computer down. I'm sure that's what it is. But the challenge for us has always been managing the data. We can collect it. We just don't use it like we should. And interestingly, we're in the process now, and with outside help, we're going to get that data in a more usable format, and we're also going to implement or put that data into a database, I think, that will allow us to generate a set of EPDs for our cows. I think we're fortunate, too. We've got a handful of registered cows that we've bought from a trusted seed stock supplier of ours over the years, and they've already got EPDs, and so it will give us a nice baseline to kind of base this off of. And so it's a program and something that I'm really excited about to get going, but something that we're going to implement and change. The data piece of this has been around for a long time. There's been performance data kept forever. That's one of the old concepts. It may be novel for us, but it's always kind of a challenge for commercial cattlemen. I mean, if you've got multiple employees doing different things and kind of like the udder scoring deal and everything else, it's a challenge to collect all that data. For us, it's just a matter of getting it more user-friendly. I think we've got other reasons that'll motivate us to keep data and do it in a better format than what we have in the past. We're doing some more AI testing than we've ever done before and proving some sires up for some people, and we're also in the process of developing a market for commercial replacement heifers. And so if we've got that information downstream, I think it'll provide value for us, and it will be motivated to keep track of our data and do a better job with that from a commercial producer's perspective than what we normally do, I guess. So there's schools of thought out there that talk about replacement heifer selection that would tell you this is really pretty easy. I mean, you just need to breed every heifer and challenge enough that the poorer ones fall out, and there's some merit to that. I guess we like a certain type, and so we like to sort on them a little bit up front. we like to try and select some of the older heifers, and we do it by birth date normally, but try and find the heifers that are out of those cows that conceived early in the breeding season, and we try and evaluate feet and legs, and we don't always catch them all. It's one of the reasons why if I think about trying to breed every heifer, and you'd definitely be selecting for fertility, but if you've got a handful of those that maybe fall out 2 or 3 years later because of some other reason that you could have caught her as a yearling, then that made a pretty expensive replacement heifer. So you never catch everything that you as early as you like. I mean, we can study a heifer all day long as a yearling, and we can do all the homework we want. We can study bull catalogs. We can try and keep and analyze data. But the fact is we don't know what kind of cow she's going to be until she's a cow. And we've got to make them functional. We've got to make these cattle functional or nothing else is going to work. Kind of like this cow here that was in the top 1% of our herd there in 11 out of 14 traits. This is just another picture I stole off the internet, by the way. Google Google image search is pretty cool. She may be the best cow in the world on paper, but she's not worth a damn, so... they've got to be functional, and if you have to take anything away from my message today, it would be that we can do all kinds of things, but we've got to make them functional or they're not going to work. That's all I got.